In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, did you hear the Prokimenon today? Thou, O Lord, shall protect us and preserve us from this generation forever. And the verse on that, save me, O God, for there is no longer any who is godly. This Prokimenon could be done actually every single Sunday, even though it's only done on the Sunday of Tone 5. Because our world has become perverse. It has become godless. And we are in need of salvation. The salvation that comes through Christ. Last Sunday, we heard how the Lord came to offer that salvation to the demoniac. And how he healed him. And the demoniac wanted to stay with the Lord and be with him forever, abiding in that kingdom. But all of the villagers, the townspeople, people in that neighborhood, asked them to depart. They wanted nothing of the Lord and nothing of his kingdom. In today's gospel reading, we hear actually just the opposite. The Lord comes and he's surrounded by crowds. They're pressing upon him. It's so tight, like sardines in a can. They want to get as close to the Lord and his kingdom as possible. One woman just comes up and through the crowd touches the hem of the garment and she's healed. He goes then and raises a child who had died back to life. People wanted to be as close to Christ as possible. They wanted to be one with Christ. If it were possible at that time for them to live in him and he in them, that's what they would have desired. Because he was life eternal embodied, God incarnate, true God and true man, true life. He was authentic. He was real. And he was what fallen man desires, or should we say, should desire. So we see this contrast between those who are disinterested and those who were interested. Now the disinterest, as we said last Sunday, wasn't about interest in the devil and hell. They were not interested in torture and torment, eternal condemnation. They weren't interested in that. They were just interested in this world and in themselves. That was the great temptation, to choose this world and oneself over the kingdom and Christ. And that's a temptation that still exists to this day. And this is why our day and age, like previous generations, is perverse and godless. Because of this choice. Anyone know what happened this past week on October 31st? It was the 500th anniversary of something. The Reformation. 500 years ago, October 31st, 1517, the German monk Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. What was that all about? He was protesting what was going on in the Roman Catholic Church. He had seen errors in teaching and in practice. He had seen things that were not right, that needed to be fixed. And he wrote up this long list, and he nailed it to the door in protest. And what happened? But he was joined by others, who were also later called Protestants. They joined him in trying to change the Roman Catholic Church, trying to fix it. And what eventually happened was, they didn't succeed, so they broke away, started their own church. And then they ended up trying to change each other. And they each broke away and formed their own churches. And so on and so forth. And now you have 30-something thousand different Protestant churches in 500 years. And in our day and age, we have things so backwards that we actually celebrate this division. The 500th anniversary of the Reformation is something that has been celebrated. And not just by Protestants, but also by Roman Catholics. A joint celebration that happened throughout 2017, culminating on October 31st, which, yes, also was Halloween. And I hope the irony is not lost on you, because what happens with the Reformation, the fruit of it was that everybody got to be who they wanted to be. They got to make up their own minds on what was real and what was not real. They got to choose their own identity. And not only that, but they got to put a costume on Christ and make him into whoever they wanted him to be. And God into whoever they want God to be. Everybody dresses up on Halloween. I hope none of you are triggered by the fact that I did mention Halloween in a negative light. I apologize if you were, but some things are negative. Some things are. The Reformation, I hope you're not triggered by that. That's negative too. We're not supposed to refashion ourselves to be whoever it is we want to be. That's part of our common pathology today. We make up our own identities. What would happen if a fish decided to be a bird and hops out of the water? It would die. Or a bird decides to be a fish. It swoops and goes under the water trying to swim. It would die. What happens when a human being tries to be something other than what he or she was created to be? We cannot choose our own identities because God has already given us an identity. The creature can't fashion the creator. It's the creator who fashions the creature. This is basic logic and basic reason, basic intelligence. But what we have today is something that's artificial, an artificial intelligence. You know, the Reformation happened 500 years ago. What happened about 500 years before that?
Schism.
Great schism, right? What was that all about? July 16th, 1054, during the celebration of the Divine Liturgy, Cardinal Humbert, Roman Catholic Church, laid a papal bull of excommunication on the Patriarch of Constantinople in the high altar of the Church of the Hagia Sophia. Note to self, if you're going to interrupt the Divine Liturgy, it's not going to turn out well. We don't interrupt the work of God. And that's, of course, what happened. The work of God was interrupted, and in a great way. Because with that excommunication, the Pope became unaccountable to his brothers. It would be like Peter being unaccountable to the other 11 disciples. It wasn't meant to be that way, but it became that way. And in a sense, what you had was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. What? Did you just say that happened 500 years later?
Yeah.
No, it started. It started when the Pope tried to reform the church, making himself the head of the church. He came not to that door of that church of all saints, but he came to the Hagia Sophia with his legate as his representative. And he dropped on that altar his words of protest. He protested Christ being the head of the church. And he broke away and formed his own. Fell into error, and 500 years later, others broke away, formed their own, and fell into error, and the story goes on and on and on. But why can't everyone do that? Why can't everyone make up their own church, their own Christ, their own God? Why can't they be who they want to be? Isn't that one of the ideals of our society? Isn't that, in a sense, why Halloween is so beloved? Everyone gets to do their own thing and let everyone be. Isn't it wonderful to see on Halloween a child dressed as an angel walking hand in hand with a child dressed as a demon? Where else are you going to see that, right? Heaven and hell come together on Halloween. All is relative. And it's not just celebrated, brothers and sisters, on Halloween. It's celebrated every single day of our society. And it brings about the death of Christianity. You know what's happening in Europe? What I just said, the death of Christianity. The decline is so stark. 2 years ago, Damien Thompson noted in The Spectator that in the first decade of the 21st century, the number of Christians in Britain fell by 5.3 million. That's about 10,000 per week. 10,000 per week. At that rate of decline, he wrote, the mission of St. Augustine to the English, together with that of the Irish saints to the Scots, will come to an end in 2067. Christianity will cease to exist in these lands in 2067. How many years from now is that? 50 years. In just 50 years, we'll come to an end. And what's the answer? This is where it goes from craziness. So I don't know what's worse than that, but whatever it is, it goes to that. And something that was so shocking, you think it wasn't authentic, but it was. That to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this year, there was an exhibit held in a church in Wittenberg, Germany, which unveiled what's called the robot priest. A machine that emits lights out of its outstretched hands and dispenses blessings in five languages. The robot called Bless You 2 will spout out whatever blessing a parishioner selects from a touchpad screen on its chest. What do you want blessed? Your marriage? Your gay marriage? You want everything blessed? Just put it on the touchscreen, you'll get it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But isn't it necessary? There is such a decline of Christianity in Europe. You've got to do something. In places where populations are growing older and dying out, do you know what they're trying to implement? Robotics to save the economy. To bring robots in to do the work that the population used to do. Well, doesn't that make sense that in the church, if the church is dying out, we'll just bring in robots to do what it is we're supposed to be doing. We'll get priests who are robots, and we'll get parishioners who are robots. And the Lord's work will be done. Christianity will be saved. Only problem is what happens when those robots get something called artificial intelligence? Right? That's the great fear of robotics. What happens when the robot becomes smart? Smarter than its creator, right? So these robots would start to maybe invent different doctrines than we gave them. Different teachings, different practices. They would have a mind of their own. What would they end up with? A false God? A false Christ? Isn't that what they were already programmed with? Dear brothers and sisters, artificial intelligence, it's not something to be feared coming out of robots. Something feared to be coming out of human beings. We were created by God to know truth. Not to reprogram ourselves to believe whatever we want to believe, think whatever we want to think. We were given a mind to know truth. A heart to love and a will to do the Lord's work. We were created by our Creator for a purpose. And we refashion ourselves all the time. And this is a temptation, by the way, that existed even in the days of the early church. The idea to find our identity in something other than the identity given by God in Christ. Did you listen to the epistle today? St. Paul said, brethren, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. He said, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What was he talking about? He was talking about those Jews who became Christians, and they said the Gentiles also need to become Jews before they become Christians. They need to be circumcised. They need to become something other than what they were. And what did St. Paul say? What did the church say? They don't need to put on a costume. If they're Gentiles, they're Gentiles. If you're Jews, you're Jews. It doesn't make a difference. What matters is that whoever you are, Jew or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, etc., male, female, etc., what matters is that you become a new creation, he says. You deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. God forbid that I should boast in anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. This doesn't avail anything. But there is a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. You see, what matters is becoming what we're meant to be, what we're created to be in Christ. What matters is that we throng and press upon him like the crowds, with that desire to be in him and him in us, to be healed, to be resurrected, to become like he is, authentically human, and by grace to participate in the true God. And here's what St. Paul says. He says, from now on, let no man trouble me. Get off my back. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The costume that he put on, the garment that he enveloped himself in, is the body of Christ. Don't trouble him, he says. Brothers and sisters, is that what we're doing? Are we becoming one with Christ, abiding in him and him in us, in this faithless and perverse generation where there's no longer any who's godly? I hope that the answer is yes. And I apologize again if I've triggered anyone, if I've offended anyone. This is not easy. It's not easy to realize that what we thought was intelligence is actually artificial. What we thought was right is actually wrong. What we thought was light is actually darkness. It's not easy to realize we've had things backwards, that things need to be inverted, that we need to die to this so we can live. But this is all we can talk about, because this is all that the church does. We can't refashion the church to do something it doesn't do, to bless darkness, to bless death. God forbid. God forbid. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, celebrate not the Reformation or the Deformation, but celebrate your recreation in Christ through the church, for the glory of God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.